Have you ever noticed that it's a lot easier to find answers when you know what the questions are? Hi, I'm Rob West. Sometimes the hardest part of solving a problem is coming up with the right questions to ask. And that's certainly true for managing money. Today, financial teacher and author Ron Blue drops in with three financial questions you need to answer. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest Ron Blue is co-founder of Kingdom Advisors and the author of several books on personal finance from a biblical perspective, including Never Enough. Ron, always great to have you with us.
Well, Rob, I enjoy it all the time, so thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm excited about this because a hallmark of your teaching for a long time has been these critical questions. There's three of them that you say the Bible asks and we all must answer at some point. The first one being, who owns it? Why is that so foundational?
Well, until you answer that question, you don't know who the steward is or trustee is of the money. And when you say that I own it, then I can do with it what I want. But if I say God owns it, now the my actions change because now I'm managing somebody else's money or finances. And it's the most fundamental financial question that anybody can ask. And in answering it will change your money behavior, but it'll also change your life. And it's, to me, the first step of the lordship issue is, he really lord of my life? And if so, he owns all that he's entrusted me with. So it's a biggie, Rob.
Yeah, it sure is. And you said it'll change your financial behaviors because you've also taught us that your behaviors follow your belief system. So really that idea of who owns it, God owning it all, if that's at the core of your belief system, it changes everything about how you actually manage money. Now, this second question is equally as important, Ron, and that is, how much is enough? Talk to us about that question.
Well, it's we live in a culture and that we're surrounded by unbelievable amounts of wealth, if you will, at least reports of wealth. You know, I watched a golf tournament a couple of days ago, and the winner got $3.6 million,
wow,
which is fine. I'm not questioning that. But here's what I do question, and that is, do I have a finish line?
Yeah.
Is there an amount that when I get there, I'm done? Or do I keep looking around and saying I'll never quit because there's always somebody ahead of me?
Yes.
And answering that question gives a sense of a goal that can be accomplished, and it gives a sense of peace and contentment that you'll never get unless you answer that question. In other words, unless you have a finish line, you'll never have contentment either.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful. And I know you've taught us that that applies both to your lifestyle, your spending on a monthly basis, as well as your balance sheet, your long-term accumulation. All right, Ron, let's finish with this third question. We have just about a minute left, and that is the next steward chosen and prepared? What do we need to know?
Well, we live in a culture that has a lot of wealth associated with it. Let's just take the average person, if you will, who owns a home. And if they die at an old age, then they've had a retirement plan, perhaps, and they own a home and they're debt free. Then somebody's going to be managing that money or that wealth after your death. And it's a really good idea to know who that is and make sure that they're prepared. And the reason that's so important is because you're really transferring God's possessions or God's money. So I want to make sure that I'm transferring it to someone who considers themselves to be a steward and accepts that responsibility and then are prepared to handle it also. So it's a biggie too.
It really is. And I know you've taught us there. Part of that is asking the question, what's the worst thing that can happen? Because there are not only financial, but spiritual implications to passing wealth to the next steward if they're not properly prepared. Well, this has been quick, Ron, but really vital questions we all need to answer. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, as always, Rob, I enjoyed it and appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. That's Ron Blue, author of Never Enough and frequent contributor here at Faith and Finance. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There are two things everyone needs, and there are two things Psalms 43 tells us that the Lord provides, light and faithful care. Light, John telling us that light is the life of humanity. We need light, not just to see, but light is what makes us alive. It's the Lord's light He gives to all. He gives life, and He gives faithful care. He doesn't let His people drift into the darkness. He faithfully cares for them, protects them, establishes them. Psalm 43 prays that the Lord's light and care would lead us to His holy mountain where Christ is. And as we pray, the Lord brings us to Christ's holy mountain to be with us. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchored.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
God has set His heart on the person that is listening to us right now who is at the very bottom, and they've lost a job, a child has died, and they don't feel like life is worth living. God has set His heart on you. Even when we're not worthy, we are worth something to God.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Well, it's so great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. What do as we gather together each day in this hour? Well, we go back to God's Word and ask the question, how can we be found faithful as stewards of God's money? Ron Blue joined us today, one of my mentors, the founder of Kingdom Advisors and author and teacher. Ron's been at this for decades, and what he shared today I think is so key. Our ability to answer three questions as believers related to our money is essential. Who owns it? How much is enough? And I would say that's not only for our accumulation, our ultimate finish line in terms of our long-term savings, but also for our lifestyle. How much is enough for our lifestyle today? And the Bible doesn't define that. That's between you and the Lord. And remember, money's not bad. It's one of God's blessings. We're to enjoy it and use it to provide for our families and bless others. But I do think it's appropriate for us to say, Lord, how much is enough for me, for our family, as we consider our lifestyle? And then thirdly, I love this, is the next steward chosen and prepared. You know, as we think about passing on to the next steward what God has entrusted to us, are they prepared for that really high calling? And could that money actually be a detriment? Could it pull them away from the Lord? Are they leading a lifestyle either with financial mismanagement or walking away from the Lord such that a significant sum of money could actually propel them in the wrong direction? Well, asking the question, what is the worst thing that can happen when I leave this money, is not a bad idea. And then just prayerfully considering what God would have you to do. Remember, that can change over time, and it will. But there's only three places you can leave your money: to the government, to your heirs, or to ministry or charity. And you want to be thoughtful about how you, as a steward, make that final stewardship decision. And preparedness is really key as you pass wealth on. Well, hopefully that helps you as we get started here today. We want to turn the corner, though, and answer your financial question. So here's my question for you. What are you thinking about financially, and how can we help you move forward and make a wise decision in light of God's word? We've got lines open, and we're ready for you. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. 800-525-7000. Let's dive in. We're going to begin today in Tennessee. Hi, Elaine. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
What I want to know is, if I sell my house, would I be able to get the equity out, since it's only in my husband's name? My house, I'm on the deeds, but I'm not on the mortgage itself.
Okay. And is your husband living?
No, he passed away. I'm a widow.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Yes, of course, you can sell your house, and you have inherited your husband's half of the property, although if you're solely on the deed, then it's all yours. If he's still on the mortgage, I understand that. The mortgage would need to be satisfied upon the sale of the property, but whatever's remaining, would be yours in the entirety. So typically, jointly owned assets with right of survivorship don't need to go through probate. It's always good to check with an estate planning attorney just around your specifics, but generally speaking, what you're describing, that would be able to be sold, and all of that equity, once the mortgage is satisfied, would stay with you.
Okay. All right. So, because I did go to a lawyer, and he told me about the probate, if I had to go through probate, and I still wouldn't maybe be able to assume the loan. Even after that.
When a family member inherits a property, often the loan is able to be continued. If you intended to keep the property, I assume you have a low interest rate on that mortgage?
Yes, I have a 3.125.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's less than half of what you'd be able to get today. Go ahead.
I sent them everything they wanted to know. And, like I sent him my driver's license, my marriage certificate, his death certificate, and they wouldn't let me assume the loan.
Okay. Well, a federal law allows heirs to assume a decedent's mortgage loan in most cases. So as long as you're a qualified successor in interest, which you are, someone who's inherited or otherwise acquired ownership as a result of the homeowner's death, you can take over the loan once the deed is signed over to you. And in this case, the deed is already in your name. So I would circle back on that. And would you prefer to keep the property, or is it your intention to sell it in either case?
Well, I'm considering moving out of state to be with my daughter and her family, so I could help them. And and so that's why I just wanted to make sure if I sold the house. But so I really do have a legal right, don't I?
In terms of keeping the mortgage?
Right, for me to have the mortgage.
That's right. Yeah, it should be, given that you've inherited this. It should be able to be taken over by you. So I would circle back on that. There may be some factor here I'm overlooking, but just generally speaking, that's the way this works. Is at death, if you're a qualified successor, you would be able to assume that mortgage. So I would lean into that a bit further and just get the right person on the line, explain what's going on here, and tell them that it's your intention for you to be placed on that mortgage. And then if you decide to sell it, obviously you could do that at any time.
Right. Okay. I sure appreciate you.
Absolutely, Elaine. Thank you for your call today. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got a few lines open today. A first-time caller in Virginia, Marianne, thanks for being on the program. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm 63, and I have $30,000 in a savings account, $10,000 in checkings, or probably less than that now, and $12,000 in a money market, but I only have $100 and some in a retirement, which is in the stock market.
Okay.
And then I owe $25,000 on my home, and that's at 2.99%. And I was just looking for some guidance in case I wanted to, what I should do, what would be a good thing to do at my age.
Yeah, very good. Are you still working?
Yes.
Okay. And just based on what you know today, how long do you plan on continuing to work?
I don't really know.
Okay. All right.
I was thinking about early retirement, but at the same time, I don't have much of a retirement. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the key. You know, the first step is always to say, what would my lifestyle look like in retirement? Probably very close to what it is today, unless, you know, you're about to have your mortgage paid off or something else is going to change. Most folks live on 70 to 80% of their pre-retirement income. And the reason is, hopefully they're out of debt by the time they reach retirement. The kids are off the payroll. You know, they drop their life insurance because they don't need it. There's not a risk there that would be created for a dependent at their death. You know, maybe you're not eating out for lunch at work or work clothes, things like that. So I think the key would be to establish your retirement budget. How much would it take to fund your lifestyle on a monthly basis? And then kind of back into, okay, what would be covered by Social Security? You know, if you take it early, you know, you're going to lose about 8% a year for every year you take it prior to full retirement age, which is probably close to 67. You're 63. So every year you wait, you're getting closer and closer to that full benefit, which I would encourage you to do, just given that you don't have a lot in the way of retirement savings. And if you wait beyond full retirement age up to age 70, it'll increase above your scheduled benefit by 8% a year. And then if whatever you can do to pay down debt and become debt-free if you aren't already, and save as much as possible for the future between now and then is obviously key. I've got to take a quick break, but I want to get your thoughts on that and help you think about where you go from here. So stay on the line. Back with much more on Faith and Finance just around the corner.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who's been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
I'm delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. You know, here at American Family Radio, it's all about helping you live with a biblical worldview as you engage the culture, as you walk with Jesus, as you parent your kids, as you live as a faithful spouse to your mate, and as you manage God's money. And that's what we want to do on this program, is focus in on our role as stewards of God's resources. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Marianne. Unfortunately, she couldn't hold, but she was sharing that, you know, she's working. She's got some medical issues, although she's current on her medical bills. She does have some ongoing issues. She's got about $40,000 between her savings and her checking account. Doesn't really have much in the way of a retirement account, but she's living modestly, and she's 5 years away from having that mortgage paid off at her current payment schedule, you know, and she's 63 currently. So what we talked about during the break, because she had to go, was essentially that she's going to really try to focus on getting to where that mortgage is paid off before she thinks about entering retirement. That's going to help her to shore up her full retirement benefit from Social Security, get rid of that largest expense, her mortgage, moving forward in retirement, which will get her expenses down to maybe $1,000 a month, should be covered by Social Security. And then she's got a nice emergency fund to boot. So I think, you know, she felt good about that. Pray for Marianne. She was just, you know, feeling a little emotional just about thinking about navigating all of these things. And it can be. And yet we need to be reminded that God is our provider, not our employer, not the U.S. government. God alone is our provider and sustainer. He will never leave us or forsake us. And that's a great reminder for all of us as we think about where we've placed our trust. Hey, we've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you with your financial questions. You can call 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones to Texas. Grady is a first-time caller. Go right ahead.
Hey, this is Grady. Thanks for your ministry, Rob. And I got a quick question. I got my bill in the mail for my mortgage, and I looked at it, and I saw that I pay about one-third on escrow, or what is insurance taxes, escrow, and then about one-third on interest, and about one-third actually goes to the principal. But what I was wondering is if I don't totally pay off my house, but let's say I put a big chunk down on it, does that reduce the amount of interest that you actually pay, or do they just go down that long payment schedule and you're always paying the same amount of interest as if you were still in a 30-year mortgage?
Yeah,
does that make sense to you?
It does. Makes complete sense. And it should go directly to principal. So that amortization schedule, which basically set the escrow aside for a second, the amortization schedule tells you exactly out of every payment, let's say it's a 30-year mortgage, so every payment over 30 years, what goes to principal, what goes to interest. Obviously, with an amortized mortgage in the early days, far more is going to interest than principal. And when you get to the tail end, you know, you've got far more going to principal and very little to interest. And so if you were to pay the scheduled payment along the way, it would follow that schedule exactly. But if at any point you're making that payment every month and you add to it an additional amount, that should go directly against the principal. And then that would be money that there is no interest paid on for the rest of the mortgage. which is why that's such a powerful idea, that it helps us get closer, obviously, to paying it off, but it also is a huge interest savings because that portion that has been reduced of the principal balance is not going to have any interest paid on it for the life of the loan. So just make sure that your mortgage company, especially if you're making a large payment, make sure that they apply that properly and you actually see that principal reduction. Just log in online, make sure they've done it the way you intended, but it absolutely should 100% go against the principal.
Right. So in reality, it would just click way down the amortization schedule and pick it up down there, however far down you paid it down then.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it won't change your monthly payment amount, but it will change the allocation of what's going to principal and interest.
More will go on the principal in that monthly payment.
That's right. That's right.
All right, good. Thank you, sir. I appreciate
your
time. Appreciate
you're welcome, Grady. Absolutely. Thank you for calling today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Virginia. Hi, Douglas. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I had a question about precious metals. I'm retired, 67. I, over the years, have invested in some precious metals, silver, some gold. I inherited some coin collection from my grandparents, which was back in the 1900s. Anyway, my question is, if I die tomorrow or in 5 minutes, how is that distributed? And what are the consequences of whoever receives this precious metal collection, if you will? What are the tax consequences for that?
Yeah. Yeah, great question. So it would be passed according to your will. Do you have a valid will right now?
I have a will. I have a trust. I have God has blessed me in the fact that I have some fairly decent assets, but I just don't know about this precious metals.
Yeah. Well, to the question about,
pass it on to,
with regard to inheritance, I mean, first of all, it's going to pass according to, if they're titled in the name, if it's in an account that's titled in the name of the trust, it'll pass according to the trust. Otherwise, it would go according to your will through probate. In terms of the taxes, there's no inheritance tax, and they would get a step up in basis for tax purposes. So the cost basis would be adjusted to the fair market value at the time of your death, which is huge for beneficiaries because it'll reduce the capital gains tax if they decide to sell the assets later or have no capital gains if they sell it right away. So as long as your will and trust are valid, you're going to pass these efficiently, and they'll have a favored tax treatment because of that step up in basis due to the inheritance. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
At FaithFi, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron? Check out all of the benefits of a FaithFi patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
I'm delighted you're joining us today for Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we mine the scriptures and apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. We've got some lines open today for your question, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Hey, before we head back to the phones, we're going to head to Oregon next. Let me read this quote that I came across recently that I think was just really powerful from author Paul David Tripp, his book Sex and Money, published by Crossway. He writes, "Money is one of God's good creations, but this good thing becomes a bad thing for you when it becomes a ruling thing. You simply cannot serve the King of Kings and have acquisition of wealth as the organizing dream of your heart." Let me read that last line again. You simply cannot serve the King of Kings and have the acquisition of wealth as the organizing dream of your heart. He's not saying money is a bad thing or it's evil. Remember, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Money is a gift from God. It was created by Him and allowed, and we're allowed through Him entrusting to us wealth to use it in a way that allows us to enjoy it and to bless others and to be a part of His generosity story and to meet the needs of our family and others. But when it becomes a ruling thing, and it really becomes the dream of our hearts to acquire more wealth, well, that's when it can really get in the way of our service to the King. Think about that today as you think about this good gift of God and how it's motivating our heart posture. Hey, we want to take your calls today. We've got a few lines open here in our final, not quite yet our final segment today. We've got a bit more time. The number to call today, 800-525-7000 with whatever you're thinking about financially. Let's head to Oregon now to Lynn. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. Thanks.
I have a question about a CD that is going to be coming due the middle of this month. It's a 40,000 CD. And I hear about bonds increasing, and I'm wondering if that might be an optional place to put it. I don't know that much about them.
Sure. It certainly could be, Lynn. Tell me how this $40,000 fits into the rest of your investable assets. What would you say is the time horizon on it? When do you plan to use it? Help me out with a bit of that information.
It could at least a year. It could be put away for a year. I don't know that I will need it. I'd like to have access to it eventually. You know, I may need a new roof just for spending expenses. I'm waiting until I'm 70 to take my Social Security. That'll be in a year. So once that happens, I'll have a little more.
Yeah, very good. Well, I would say given that the time horizon could be, even though I understand it could be a bit longer, but it could be as little as a year, I'd probably just roll it over into another CD. Because yes, bonds should perform well as interest rates fall. The question is, when is that going to happen? And they're probably going to go up at least one more times, if not a couple of additional rate hikes before we start to see them turn down. So, you know, if you were to go into bonds, you'd probably want to buy a high quality bond mutual fund. So high quality meaning, you know, high quality bonds that are highly rated, AAA rated. And then you'd want to, you know, have a basket of corporate and government bonds. And there would be a nice yield on it. You'd want to stay on the shorter end of the duration. So a bond fund that was like 10 years or less. And then as those interest rates fall, you would see some appreciation in the price of those bonds, which would allow that to perform pretty well. But just given that, you know, you can get a CD right now at 5.5% for a year, you're really, you know, not going to do any better than that in bonds. And the nice thing about the CD is if with FDIC insurance, it's guaranteed. So you wouldn't have to worry about, you know, the interest rate increases over the next year causing those bond prices to fall before they go up. So I think just given the possibility of the time horizon being around 12 months potentially, I'd probably just roll it over into a CD. And the best place to go to find your next CD, you could certainly see what that current bank has, but I'd go to bankrate.com, and you can search by CDs of any duration, and they'll tell you which banks, typically online banks with FDIC insurance, are offering the very best rates right now for a 12-month CD. The other option you could look at if you wanted a banking institution that shared your values as a believer, if that was important to you, you could look at Christian Community Credit Union, joinchristiancommunity.com. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I don't understand, I guess, bonds that well. It sounds like sort of like stocks, they can lose value. And I really would prefer to have something a little safer like a CD. Yeah. I don't know how bonds work, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yes, they can lose value. And basically, they represent a loan from the buyer, you, to the issuer of the bond. So they're issued by companies or governments. They pay a stated interest rate, but the market value of the bond, and I'm sorry if this is getting a little technical, but the market value of the bond changes over time as it becomes more or less attractive to potential buyers. And that has to do with interest rates. So as interest rates head down, the bond that you bought at a higher, you know, yield is more attractive to potential buyers. And so that price of the bond is going to increase. So the price of the bond, the market value of the bond changes with interest rates, and it works in an inverse relationship. And so you've got the, you know, the stated interest rate, and then you've got the price of the underlying bond, or in the case of a mutual fund, a basket of bonds, and that's going to be driven by interest rates. So, and then shorter maturities tend to offer lower interest rates, but that's one of the strange things that's going on right now in this economy is that the shorter interest, the yield curve is inverted. So the shorter durations are offering higher interest rates, which is normally signals a recession. And this is going to become an economics class here in a moment. So I'm going to be careful not to go too far. But bottom line is they're issued by governments and corporations as a way to raise money. When you buy a bond, you're giving the issuer a loan. They agree to pay you back the face value of the loan on a specific date and then give you periodic interest payments, usually twice a year. And they typically are more stable than stocks, and the price of them changes, you know, underlying value, market value of the bond changes over time with interest rates. So bottom line is, could you lose money? Yes, you could, because the price of that underlying bond could fall, and that could cause you to lose money, even though the interest rate is continuing to be paid. And so if you want something that's ultimately safe, that's where we're in an unusual period right now, where after a long period of time where CDs paid next to nothing, you can actually get a decent interest rate on CDs with government guarantees through FDIC insurance. So it sounds like that might be what you'd, you know, want to do.
Okay. When you buy a CD and the term is up, do they have the option of renewing it if you don't let them know, or is it?
That would be in the fine print. I mean, some CDs do have an automatic renewal, and you have a period where you need to let them know, you know, usually 30 days before or something like that. So, you would want to check and see if there's an automatic renewal there and let them know, I don't want you to automatically renew this, which would give you the option to renew it at some point at your choosing, or to move it out to another bank where maybe you could get a better interest rate.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your help.
Absolutely. God bless you. Thanks for your call today. We're going to take a quick break, folks, then back with one final segment, your questions at 800-525-7000. Call right now.
Big Tech is blatantly censoring conservative and Christian content, and today's issues made sure you're aware.
The control of information is stunning. Dr. Scott Atlas, one part of the president's team on coronavirus, cited information out of Europe on the lack of value of wearing masks, and Twitter has removed him.
If the issues affect you and your family, today's issues will keep you informed. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on AFR, or listen to the podcast anytime at AFR.net.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions here in our final segment. This is your last chance to get in on today's broadcast. So what are you thinking about financially? 800-525-7000. Before we talk to Kyle in Texas, some mortgage news today. A new Zillow survey shows around a 5% mortgage rate is the tipping point for most folks to buy or sell a home. Homeowners with a mortgage rate of 5% or higher are twice as willing to sell their homes, while 71% of home buyers say they won't accept a rate higher than 5.5%. Another survey by Realtor.com showed that 82% of homeowners feel locked in by their existing low mortgage rate. That, by the way, is helping to keep home values high by limiting the inventory of homes for sale, which was already under some pressure prior to this spike in interest rates. So an interesting housing market for sure out there, with rates at 7% plus, still lower than needed inventories. Housing prices still climbing, even though they're not climbing as quickly. And given that they're still climbing, we're still seeing a pretty robust housing market. Still, I would say, a seller's market out there. Really something we're going to have to keep a close eye on, especially in light of this expected recession that will hit probably later this year or early next year. Hopefully mild, but certainly a recession is the base case by most economists. We'll keep an eye on the housing market for sure. By the way, if you are in the market for a mortgage and you want a trusted partner that shares your values, I'd check out Movement Mortgage, an incredible story, and you can learn more at I'm thinking Christian Community Credit Union at movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. All right, let's head back to the phones. We're going to round out the broadcast here with your questions today at 800-525-7000. To Texas we go. Hi, Kyle. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Yeah, Rob, I appreciate you taking my call. I listen to your show often, every chance I get, and appreciate all the great info. And I've kind of accidentally become a reference for some of my coworkers because of that. But,
oh, nice.
So that's the reason for the call.
You take all the credit for that, Kyle. Don't give me credit. You're the man.
Well, I just knew where to go to get the info.
There you go.
So the question that was asked to me, I've got a coworker that's, I think, around 62, is kind of in the consideration of retiring. So he has a traditional 401k. He's thinking maybe pulling some money out of that to build his retirement home. But he didn't know if he'd have to pay a penalty. I feel like he would if he was still working and below retirement age. But his question was, well, what if I go ahead and retire and then take the money out of the 401k to build the house? Yeah. I didn't know how to answer that.
Yeah, it's a great question. There is no penalty once he reaches 59 and a half. So that's the cutoff age for the 10% penalty. So what he would be left with is any distribution or withdrawal from that 401k, because it's the traditional variety, would be taxable. So it would just be added to his taxable income for the year. So, you know, let's say he's paying a marginal tax rate of 22%. He'd pay 22% in taxes as that gets lumped into his income for the year, but there is no penalty. So I think a couple of considerations. One would just be, how would that then leave him in terms of what's remaining, you know, and would that be enough to generate the income he needs beyond Social Security in retirement to meet his obligations? Would he be better served to let that continue to grow on a tax-deferred basis and take out a mortgage? And maybe he already is. Maybe this was just for the down payment. The other consideration is, just given potentially a pretty sizable withdrawal, he should work with his CPA on the schedule of how he and when he makes those withdrawals. So, for instance, he could pull, you know, half of it in this tax year and wait and pull half of it next tax year, for instance. And then he'd spread out that additional taxable income so he doesn't inadvertently push a portion of this up into a higher tax bracket, because now all of a sudden he's earning more money. So those are the main considerations. Is that helpful?
It is very helpful. Yes. Yes. And if I did guess his age wrong, or for somebody else listening, or even myself, at 57, 58 years old.
So there would be a 10% penalty on that withdrawal, plus it would be taxable. So that becomes pretty expensive money, you know, because you're probably at a minimum of 30% right off the top.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if post-retirement, even if you were below that age. But
it's
okay.
Really not about whether you're still – I mean, whether you're still with the company has to do with whether you can roll it out to an IRA, but whether or not you've retired has no bearing on you taking a taxable withdrawal from the account. It's just that age of 59 and a half is the key to whether or not there's a penalty. By the way, if he is 57, don't tell him that you told me he was 62. He probably won't like that very much.
Correct. Yeah, I hope he's not listening.
Hey, Kyle, thanks for your call and for your kind remarks about the program, sir. We appreciate it. Let's head to Georgia. Clarence, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, Rob, I enjoy your show. Listen to it every day. But,
well, thank you.
Yes, sir. I am I'll reach my full retirement age next April, which is 66 and a half.
Yes, sir.
I'm considering going ahead and starting drawing my Social Security check. However, I am still working. I don't plan on quitting work. I want to work as long as I can. they will still continue to take Social Security out of my payroll check every week, right?
And yes, sir.
Will that increase my Social Security benefits? I know 70 is your maximum, but will it continue to grow in the process of going to the age 70, although I'm still working and they're still deducting it?
Well, there's two separate things going on here that both affect whether you get an increase in benefits. What you're talking about is if you elect not to take your Social Security at full retirement age, then you could delay that. And for every month you delay it up to age 70, you'd get 1/12 of 8% added to that benefit. And that would be a permanent increase. Once you take your Social Security, you're locking that benefit in. And the only way to see an increase is from two ways. One is a cost of living adjustment, which everybody gets annually based on inflation. And the second is if you continue to work after you start taking your benefits or at any time, you earn more than any of what's called your high 35. So these are your highest 35 years of income and paying FICA taxes. If your current income, after full retirement age replaces one of those high 35 years that's lower, then that would increase your benefit, even though you've already started taking Social Security. But you're not going to get that automatic increase up to age 70 once you elect to take your benefit. Does that make sense?
It does, and I understand. And I'm making more now than I've ever made in my life, so I'm sure it will continue to be one of the high 35s. That's what I was hoping, that it would still increase.
Absolutely.
Over the years to come, up until, I've had a few heart issues and everything, and there's a few things I'd like in life before I retire, and I thought once I reached that full retirement age, I could start drawing a few things in case something did happen,
Yes, sir.
I get part of my money back.
You could start enjoying it, and then as you continue to work, which, by the way, you can earn an unlimited amount with no effect to your benefit once you reach full retirement age. So from that point forward, they're not going to look at how much you've made, and if you're replacing one of those high 35, that check's going to be climbing even though you're collecting that benefit. So I think you're in great shape here, Clarence. Hey, let me ask you, what line of work are you in, sir?
I drive a truck.
Okay. Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
Well, you're the backbone of our economy, my friend. So thanks for all you do. We appreciate
all
it.
Right,
you be careful out there. Right. Yes, sir. God bless you. Let's head to Oregon. Betty, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is this: does it make financial sense, given where we are prophetically, to convert traditional IRA to Roth IRA? The last time I did that, which was 2 years ago, I paid dearly, exactly a third in taxes for that conversion. And I'm just wondering, should I continue to do that? Because there's quite a bit more that probably should be converted, because, you don't pay taxes when you draw it out on a Roth. And so I'm wondering, is it prudent to do that?
Yeah. There's a couple of things here. Because we really don't know where we are prophetically, we need to just look at the math here, in my view, because we can be sure of that. No one knows the place or the time when the Lord's going to return. Bible's pretty clear on that. So the further you are away from retirement, the more you can benefit from the Roth. If you're near that retirement season, the traditional IRA makes more sense. So because you've already converted a big chunk, I'd probably just sit tight with what you've got. I realize the likelihood is that tax rates are headed higher. We know the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act from President Trump expires here in the next couple of years. Hopefully that'll be renewed. A lot of it has to do with who the next administration is. But I kind of like you having both buckets, the Roth and the traditional bucket, to pull from. And you're going to be paying a bundle in taxes if you continue to move that money over. And you don't get as much benefit because you don't have the decades for the compounding increase, especially especially with you being more conservative with your investments in this season of life. So I hope that's helpful to you, Betty. Thanks for calling today. May the Lord bless you. Hey, Bonnie in Tennessee, unfortunately, we're not going to get to your call, but if you want to stay right there, we'll see if we can get you scheduled to be first on tomorrow's broadcast. Well, on behalf of my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood, couldn't do it without them. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, bringing you God's wisdom for your financial decisions and choices. May the Lord bless you. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.